Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon? If You Could Choose the Way to Die. Based on our first reading from Acts 7, listen to these verses again. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And as they were stoning Stephen, he cried out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I encourage you to turn in your bulletin and find the handout and follow the sermon outline as we consider together our theme, If You Could Choose the Way to Die. Well, let me tell you, this past Monday morning started off like most Mondays. Monday is the one day of the week that I take off just for myself and for Beverly. I made breakfast for Beverly, my special just for her. Took our dog for a walk around the neighborhood so the dog could do what she needed to do. On that walk, I was giving some thought to a special place. I wanted to go for a nice long run on Monday, and I was looking forward later in the day to going to the bench just behind our home that overlooks the Fraser River, where when I have time, I spend hours reading the books I want to read. But then, at 8:30 Monday morning, everything suddenly changed. I got a phone call from a member of Savior Lutheran Church in Ladner. A member of their congregation was in the hospice facility in Ladner and close to death. His wife was by his side. His son had flown in from out of town. This church member who called me, many of you know him, Don Ritthaler, was in the room too, and Don was on his cell phone. Pastor, could you please come? They had nowhere else to turn, because at this time, Savior Ladner is without a pastor. Let me tell you, the five of us shared a very holy and sacred time in room 10 of the Ladner Hospice. It was a sacred and holy time, a time of tears and laughter, a time of hymn singing and scripture reading, a time of sharing Holy Communion and of prayers. I didn't know those people when I first came. I got to know them pretty well in the hours we were there that day and also in a subsequent visit. We had the same background. We were dairy farmers in our young days. He in Norway, his wife in New Zealand, and me in the USA. We talk about milking cows and shoveling other products as well. I experienced in the hours with them their humble but firm faith in Jesus their Savior, an abiding love of this man and his wife for 55 years of married life. But we all especially experienced in room 10 of the Ladner Hospice the precious love of our Savior Jesus, the Good Shepherd. In the midst of death, we also celebrated life and life eternal with his family and his Savior by his side. This gentleman had what St. Paul calls the peace that passes all understanding. And as I was driving home that evening on last Monday night through the tunnel coming back into Richmond, I thought to myself, if I could choose the way to die, what would I choose? Well, how about you? Today's reading from Acts chapter 7, we learn about Stephen, a deacon in the new Christian church in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 7 ends with the words, "And he fell asleep." It's a Hebrew way of saying he died. Stephen was the first Christian martyr to give up his life because of his testimony of Jesus. He was stoned to death. What a way to die. He died as the stones that hit his body crushed the life out of him. His trial was a farce. False witnesses were lined up ahead of time. He was convicted before he even had a chance to speak. And yet he still spoke God's truth about Jesus Christ with power. And his enemies said he must be silenced. The mob was loud and vicious. They drug him out of the city. Soon stones were striking him. It didn't take long for him to die. He didn't deserve it. He was a good man, a leader, a servant in the new church. His only crime was standing up for Jesus in public. He proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, the only way to the Father. That was his crime. You see, standing up for Jesus brings attack. Standing up for Jesus today also brings attack, don't you know? Have you heard of a man named Bill McCartney? He was the former football coach who started the organization called the Promise Keepers. He began this Christian organization to help men live as God wants them to live in their homes as husbands and fathers. But McCartney has been attacked again and again by powerful feminist and political groups because of his old-fashioned values. Maybe you've heard of a man named James Dobson, who for years has been ahead of an organization called Focus on the Family. It's a radio, TV, book ministry with bold Christian family values. And his Colorado headquarters have been repeatedly vandalized. And he's received well-publicized ridicule and lawsuits for standing up for Jesus. Now, surely, if you haven't heard of these two, in the last couple of months, you have heard about the dear 200 Nigerian schoolgirls who were kidnapped by Muslim extremists and their crime for being Christian girls attending a Christian school. Common people today are also attacked for their faith in the workplace. I have read of a nurse in a public hospital who was told, if you don't quit wearing that cross over the top of your blouse, your contract will not be renewed. I read of a school teacher who's been told, quit talking to your students about Christ during break time, or you won't have a teaching job in this school next year. Standing up for Jesus still brings attack. For some, like Stephen, it brings death. And here was a fact I was reminded of during our missions conference a couple of weeks ago. Do you know that those who study such things tell us that more Christians have been martyred, have been killed around the world in the last 100 years than the 2,000 years previous? In today's text from Acts 6 and 7, take another look at Stephen. And watch how he dies. Listen to the text. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And as they were stoning him, Stephen cried out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Lord, do not hold this against them. Stephen looks beyond his soon coming death and sees Jesus waiting in heaven for him. In the face of death and in the face of attacks because of our faith, we look to Jesus. But looking is not all that Stephen does. He testifies of Jesus. Go home today, sometime during the day, and read for yourselves Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. Find in these chapters Stephen's testimony of faith. Now, he could have saved his life if he would have just kept quiet about Jesus. But he spoke up. And we are called to speak up today. Oh, how our messed up, confused, and hurting world needs the good news of God's love for them in Jesus Christ. Oh, how you and I need to stand up for God's truth. And the courage to do so only comes from our faith in Christ that He gives to us as a gift. Stephen tells us in his dying words, his strength came from Christ who was standing at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Now keep looking how Stephen dies. Are you watching? As the stones are killing him, Stephen entrusts his soul to Jesus. And he forgives. He forgives his killers. Attacked or dying today, we trust and forgive. Revenge is not the way of the Christian. Now, even the secular, godless media were forced to recognize this a few years ago. Maybe you remember the event. On the east coast of the USA was and is an Amish community. The Amish are an old-fashioned group of Christian people. The men are known by their long beards and hats. The women are known by their long dresses. And they're all known for riding in horse-drawn buggies. In this particular Amish community, a number of their children were killed. They were murdered. The reporting media were amazed. And when you watch the news broadcast, they were openly amazed and dumbfounded at the reaction of these Christian people to the murder of their dear children. Why the amazement? Because publicly, in front of a TV camera, these people publicly forgave and prayed for the man who killed their children. The reporters kept asking, how could they forgive? How could they pray for a man who took their beloved children from them? Well, here's how. Are you listening? The love of Jesus in a person's life does make a difference in how a person lives and how a person dies. Look again at Stephen. Are you looking? Loved by Jesus, testifying to Jesus, and praying for his killers. What a way to die. Stephen knew and trusted that Jesus died for his sins on Calvary's cross. Stephen knew and trusted that Jesus rose in victory from the grave for him. And this gave him God's peace and God's power as the stones flew. These are not easy days, my friends. These are not easy days to be a Christian either. You are going to take your lumps for being a Christian and standing up for Jesus today in your home, on your job, at your school, in your neighborhood, in our society. Confessing Jesus and standing up for God's truth is not a bed of roses. But in life or in death, we are the Lord's beloved. Let me remind you of something you hear every Sunday, but you're going to keep hearing it until you railroad me out of town. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus was crucified and died for you. Jesus rose in the grave for you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, even now, interceding for you. And one day, as he did Stephen, will welcome you home to heaven forever. So, if we could choose the way we die, may we die like Stephen, eyes fixed on Jesus, mouths speaking of Jesus and forgiving those who attack us, and hearts resting in his strength. What a way to die! And what a way to live now and unto life everlasting. God grant it, my dearly beloved, for you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.